Hundreds of thousands of Americans have now contracted the coronavirus. What it's like for hospital workers on the front lines of the pandemic.
Most of my coworkers, they are terrified. They're terrified going home after the work. They're terrified getting COVID when they are at work.
And how Americans are showing their support. It's Wednesday, April 1st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The U.S. now has more than 206,000 confirmed coronavirus cases, and state officials are stepping up their efforts to prevent the spread of the disease. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has put his state under a stay-at-home order. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf has ordered a similar order there. In New York, where residents have been told to only go out for necessities and exercise, Governor Andrew Cuomo has increased restrictions by shutting down New York City playgrounds.
So use the open space in a park, walk around, get some sun, great. No density, no basketball games, no close contact, no violation of social distancing, period. That's the rule.
And speaking of sports, the Wimbledon tennis tournament has become the latest major sporting event to be canceled. It's the first time since World War II that the oldest Grand Slam contest has been called off. The Food and Drug Administration has ordered the popular heartburn drug Zantac and similar generic drugs to be pulled off the market. The regulator says it found elevated levels of a possible cancer-causing chemical in the over-the-counter drug. The maker of Zantac, Sanofi, started recalling the drug in October after preliminary tests showed a possible hazard. U.S. stocks fell today following President Trump's stark warning on Tuesday about the potential spread of the pandemic. The Dow dropped 973 points, or 4.4%, a day after closing out a dismal first quarter. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq both also closed down 4.4%. The virus has been devastating for a range of industries, large and small. But in Washington, business is booming for at least one group, lobbyists. Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Brody Mullins says companies and interest groups are turning to lobbyists to make sure they get a slice of the $2 trillion stimulus package that was signed into law last week.
Companies are running as fast as they can to Washington for federal help, and that has meant a gold rush for Washington's lobbying industry. Lobbyists are being snatched up left and right to help healthcare companies, to help transportation companies, to help aviation companies, to help all sorts of companies either change regulations that would help them or more practically to try to apply for loans out of the SBA, out of the Small Business Administration, Treasury, and healthcare agencies. So there's a real feeding frenzy going on right now in Washington's lobbying industry.
All this week, The Wall Street Journal's Your Money Briefing podcast is focusing on the stimulus package, including how small businesses can apply for loans and tips for how to spend your stimulus check. Check out Your Money Briefing on our podcast page or wherever you get your podcasts. New York is still the epicenter of the pandemic in the United States. The state has over 76,000 confirmed coronavirus cases and nearly 2,000 deaths. More than half of those have been in New York City. That's straining resources like hospital beds and equipment. And it's also putting enormous pressure on the city's medical workers. Among New York's boroughs, the Bronx has the most reported COVID-19 deaths per capita. The borough also has high rates of asthma, heart disease, and diabetes, conditions that make people more vulnerable to becoming severely ill from the virus. Many have ended up in Montefiore Medical Center, and our reporter Khadija Safdar has been talking to health professionals there. Khadija, you spoke to frontline medical workers at Montefiore Medical Center's Moses campus in the Bronx, including Benny Matthew, an ER nurse. Here's a bit of what he had to say about what he's hearing from his colleagues.
Most of my coworkers, they are terrified. They're terrified going home after the work. They're terrified getting COVID when they are at work. Also, they're terrified giving COVID-19 to other patients.
Now, Khadija, you've heard similar stories. Tell us some more about what Benny and the other people you interviewed told you.
Many of them know nurses or and colleagues whose family members have been infected, so they're constantly worried about infecting their own family members. They're worried about becoming vectors and then going to work and then infecting patients. Some of them are already showing symptoms and they're going to work with a dry cough, or they're worried about it at home. They're deciding whether to use sick days at home or to go back to work. So it's a lot of tough choices for some of the folks in these circumstances.
We're also hearing about supply shortages. Many hospital workers you spoke to said they're having to reuse their personal protective equipment, or PPE, and that they're facing shortages of the equipment that they need to do their jobs.
Yeah, so because of mask shortages, the way they do regular tasks has changed drastically, and they're constantly worried about how that will affect patients. For example, nurses are having to strategize and calculate the ways they take blood or give medicine to reduce the number of trips they make into patient rooms so that they don't have to reuse their masks, gowns, or other protective gear. And they're worried that patients aren't getting the same level of care because they aren't checking them as frequently due to the gear shortage. And then there's housekeeping staff, and they're often not given the proper gear.
We've been reporting about the shortage of equipment across the state and hospitals having to improvise. We know, and we're hearing from many hospital systems, including here in New York, that are overwhelmed by the number of patients right now. What have you heard in response from Montefiore?
A Montefiore spokesman gave a statement, and this is pretty much what it said. These claims are gross misrepresentations of the facts. Montefiore is working at the direction of the governor and following CDC and Department of Health protocols to protect their workforce and treat their patients. We also requested an interview with the CEO, and they declined to make him available.
Now let's return to Benny, the ER nurse we were speaking about earlier. He has now tested positive himself for coronavirus, and he's quarantined himself with his family in their two-bedroom apartment in the Bronx, where he lives with his wife and two daughters.
I would say for all these 2 months, I've been staying 6 feet apart from them, trying not to cough, sneeze, or, you know, even talk.
And he says many of his colleagues have those same fears about infecting their loved ones.
For many, it is so hard to stay at home because they live with the immunocompromised parents or kids or the partners. So it's really hard for them.
Khadija, what can you tell us about the physical and emotional toll that this is taking on frontline medical workers like Benny?
So for Benny, he's living there trying to avoid contact with his family. They have two bedrooms and one bathroom, and he's staying currently in his daughter's bedroom. And when he goes to the bathroom, he has to clean it carefully with Clorox every time. He's just very afraid of infecting them. And then he's constantly hearing from coworkers where they're worried about their circumstances and about the possibility of infecting patients too. So it's a tremendous emotional toll. There's like just the things that they're witnessing at work too is things that they haven't seen probably in their whole career. There's conversations about who will get ventilators because the ventilator supply is dwindling. We had a quote in our story from the nurse that was profiled, and I thought pretty much captured how they felt, which is, I feel like we're being sent to slaughter.
Those are really powerful words. Khadija, what would you say that the medical workers you spoke with, what would they like the general public to know?
I think they want to have the right gear. I think that was a plea for all of them, that they want to have masks and gowns and gloves and be able to work in those circumstances. So the reason we wrote this story is because we really wanted the reader to be able to understand what's going on inside the hospitals that have been hardest hit by this crisis and be able to see things through the eyes of a nurse who is right there in the thick of it.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Khadija Safdar. Khadija, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
For the full story, visit WSJ.com. And finally, across the country, people are making some noise to show support for the emergency responders working to keep us all safe during the pandemic. From New York to Seattle, they're applauding and sounding sirens. People in Kentucky are ringing bells each morning. And a town in California is even howling like wolves. The spontaneous salutes started overseas, growing from Italy to Spain and England before coming here. Much of the noisemaking began as one-off events, but many have since become weekly or even daily occurrences. To all the people who are keeping us safe, thank you. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow in both the morning and the afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.